Hello and welcome to another episode of the SIRS Group podcast. I'm JC.
And I'm Barbara.
Today we are joined by Dr. Eric Dorninger. He is a functional medical provider driven by the pursuit of root cause healing. After the historic floods in Boulder in 2012 and his own family's illness, he discovered the work of Dr. Richie Shoemaker and became a champion for SIRS patients everywhere. He co-founded SIRS-X along with Dr. Scott McMahon, and their mission is to not only spread awareness of SIRS, but also be patient advocates in their trifecta approach, which he'll explain more during the episode. But full disclosure, I do go to his practice in Boulder, Colorado, but I don't see him directly. And we are so excited to have him on today to ask him all of our questions about SIRS.
And though he is a medical doctor, this is not medical advice. Please always talk to your Shoemaker certified SIRS practitioner for any changes or anything that you do regarding your SIRS treatment. We are also just patients ourselves. We've read the textbook. We know all the things that we can possibly know about SIRS, and that's why we have this podcast. But this is not medical advice.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Dr. Eric Dorninger. I'm a Shoemaker certified doc, and I started in healthcare about 30 years ago, volunteering with hospice and on the ambulance, and got really into emergency medicine and thought I wanted to be ER doc until I realized we're basically making sure you don't die today and then just discharging you back to your chronic illness. And the ER is amazing, but someone's got to be there to scoop up all the leftovers and the unresolved chronic illness. So I was talking to a platonic girlfriend of mine about this vision I had for medicine. She said, "Oh, that's naturopathic medicine. And there's a school for that in Seattle and Portland and Arizona." And I went on this thing called the internet, and the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians had the three schools, their address and telephone number. And I called and I got my swag bag of pamphlets and I read about the principles of naturopathic medicine in a therapeutic order. And the therapeutic order, step one is remove obstacle to cure. So basically, you're not going to get better if you're getting kicked in the shins by something. And it's been modernized to identify and treat the underlying causes. Step two is reestablish healthy regimen, which is diet and lifestyle. Step three is, and there's a lot of good stuff like that. You guys and we're hooked up with the carnivore community and Judy, and we know there's no better therapeutic diet for someone with Crohn's or ulcerative colitis aside from a water fast. But if you are doing carnivore and you're a SIRS patient, you'll get improvements from your reduction of inflammation, but you won't get cure. You won't get restored to your full productive potential and creative potential. Step three is stimulate the vital force. Love me some Wim Hof cold plunge almost every day. And that's great for modulating my immune system and enhancing my dopamine. But if I'm Wim Hof breathing in a water damaged building house with SIRS, it's limited. Step four is tonify systems. That's targeted nutraceuticals. What we wind up seeing in a lot of people is trial and error nutraceuticals. Take this supplement, take that supplement, or trial and error prescriptions. Try Lexapro. That didn't work. Let's try your next antidepressant. Try Imitrex. That didn't work for your migraine. Let's try your next migraine medicine, so on and so forth. Step five is correct structural integrity. I love Peter Ogoski's pain-free book for people who are really broken down. They can get static back and really relax. And then we graduate them to Eric Goodman's foundation training stuff. Americans have weak posteriors from the base of their skull, through their booty, down through their hammies, into their Achilles is weak. And we do this all day, right? And so you got to reestablish biomechanics. But if you do foundation training all day, but you're still having inflammatory cytokines inside your body, making you feel full of brain fog, you're going to feel a little bit better on your pain. So we combine the biomechanics with the addressing the internal inflammation. And then step six is drugs and surgery. So we're not anti-drugs and surgery. They're just a last resort, and they're offered as a first resort, right? So I fell in love with identify and treat the underlying causes, remove obstacle to cure. And so I got into National College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is now National University of Naturopathic Medicine and Bastyr University. And the wind blew me slightly north. Joe Pizzorno started Bastyr with Dr. Bill Mitchell and Les Griffith and a handful of other people. And I basically went to the science-based natural medicine Hogwarts. It's in the middle of this seminary on Lake Washington, and it was just an awesome baseline for understanding integrated medicine, getting a primary care physician training that knows all the traditional stuff on physical exam and lab and imaging and all that. We did get some prescriptive training, but then a lot of the integrated medicine stuff too. And I did martial arts my whole life, so I fell in love with Eastern medicine, and then I had to get the Master of Science in acupuncture, so I also did my acupuncture license too. And that afforded me a lot of cool experiences, like helping people get off cocaine and heroin in the Bronx at Lincoln Recovery Hospital, getting people off benzos, and doing a lot of neat stuff with Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and herbs. And then I did a residency in Boulder, Colorado, and was learning a lot, doing the basics, stabilizing blood sugar and talking to people about diet and lifestyle and evaluating overnight oximetry for oxygen and apnea and doing some Chinese herbs and adjusting people and doing some needling and all that kind of stuff. But really what I wanted to do is solve the most unsolvable mystery chronic illnesses. So I learned a lot in my residency, and then I went off and realized I needed validated non-fad labs and imaging to say, here's a migraine. Here's the 100 potential reasons you could get a migraine. We're going to order all these simple things like low vitamin D participate in migraines. And then there's big things like SIRS or tooth abscess, the 2022 Roots and Branches headache resolution case of the year was a guy had a sensitive tooth, had migraine headaches for 9 years, every freaking day had migraines. And his dentist told him to keep an eye on that. I said, no, we're going to do a 3D comb and CT on you, and a 2D dental x-ray panoramics goes like this and misses 34% of dental infection in active dental infection people. A 3D takes that 2D, turns it 90 degrees and stacks and builds a three-dimensional model of bone. He had a tooth abscess, gets the tooth pulled, 4 hours later his headaches of 9 years are gone.
Wow.
So relentlessly thorough underlying cause medicine is what I wanted to do, and I got a lot of the training and a lot of the mentors at Bastyr, but then later bumping into people like Dr. Bill Blanchette that you guys got to hear on how to prevent heart attack and stroke, and of course the I did a lot with Dr. Tatis Karazian, who's incredible at neuroendocrine immune and doesn't do SIRS but does all the other stuff. And then the godfather of biotoxin illness, Dr. Richie Shoemaker, is a dear friend and mentor, and my bad joke is I've been getting yelled at by him for 10 years now. So and that's basically what we do. We started a clinic in Louisville, Colorado, dedicated to mystery chronic illness, Roots and Branches. And yes, I don't know your healthcare story, JC, because I wanted to maintain a friendship with you. Don't see your friends or family. And we have other freaking awesome providers here, Genevieve and Dana and Emily and Leanna, who help lift this endless load of those afflicted with SIRS. And then Dr. Matt McMahon, who's like my bestie in SIRS, we started SIRS X, which is the annual conference dedicated to data-driven academic truth on both the building side and the healthcare side and the coaching side, which you guys are so great at, a lot of the coaching and consulting and getting people on track with, this overwhelming amount of building and healthcare stuff. So I call that the Holy Trinity of SIRS healing. And you gotta get the building right. You gotta get a doctor who knows their butt from their elbow on this illness. And then you have to have really good allies, almost like a SIRS therapist, not sometimes, addressing your emotional stuff, but really understanding just not only the stress, but this is how you test your building. This is how you take your volatile cholestyramine. These are things you can do. That's a moment where I need to call your doctor and check in on that, and so on and so forth. And then I also do research and development for Blue Sky CBD, and been really my, I took that job because I didn't know anything about phytocannabinoids and particularly pure cannabidiol. And the most exciting thing I'm seeing with that is its benefit for mood disorders. It's unreal. It's one of our tools for ramping off benzos and for anxiety, sleep issues. I'm speaking to the Rocky Mountain Association of Parkinson's in a couple of weeks on cannabidiol for rigidity anxiety. People don't realize like the shuffle's a big deal and the movement disorder of Parkinson's, but the second biggest symptom is anxiety. And then I teach functional medicine for Apex. I don't have any ownership stake in that company, but I just like staying connected with what Dr. Krazin's doing in Funk Med, and we go out and teach doctors. And honestly, it's another chance for me to get doctors who are doing good functional medicine to say, and that patient's in that's not getting better in your practice, that's a CERS patient. And there's a very cost-effective way your nurse or your receptionist or the dog could screen for it. It's do a VCS, ask 37 symptoms arranged into 13 groups or 13 clusters. If you're 8 out of 13 clusters, or 6 out of 13, if you're under the age of 11, you have a 95% sensitivity that you're picking up SIRS, and then ask them for biotoxin exposure. And my quick biotoxin is, have you ever been in a water damaged building? And people are like, no. And I'm like, you just told me a story about your fraternity house that flooded, and then you guys bailed out water and threw a party in the basement that night, right? So I can find water damage experience in anyone over the age of 3 days old in America, because our buildings are so compromised. Endotoxin, which is sewer gas, actinobacteria, which start as a water damaged bacteria but can then colonize the skin. Cyanobacteria, which is undercelebrated, algae blooms. If you're recreating or living near someplace that looks like Shrek's backyard pond, that's a source of biotoxin. And then seafood toxins, right? You ask any Puerto Rican or Chilean, have you ever heard of Ciguatera? Of course they do, because they actually have blooms. The gringo comes down, literally eats the bad fish, poops themselves, and then has such neurological compromise they destroy the brain and wind up a dement, all because they just needed a little vacation, right? And things like Ciguatera are wild, because hot feels cold and cold feels hot. So you'll pick up a jar of refrigerated pickles and you go, ah, devil pickles, and they're like flaming hot when they're refrigerated
Wow,
cold.
that's wild.
Isn't that wild? Like, and then we're like, you know what you need? You need more counseling. And as a guy who taught therapists to be, I'm a huge believer in therapy and trauma therapists and all that. But if you've been seeing the same client for 7 years and they're not getting any better, you have to ask, maybe there's biochemical corruption undermining their mood. So that's kind of my story about it. Most of my waking hours are spent literally one-on-one with a patient, or trying to influence public policy and eventually construction practices, changing healthcare from what we have to why we have it. And that's where you see cool stuff happen. And that's where it never gets old coming to work. And I just, I, yeah, like we had, it's a weekly glory case now. And again, I have a team of four other incredible providers. We just had a, I won't give too many details, but we had a young woman who's pursuing film, who went from 36 symptoms down to one. This is Emily's first like wild turnaround case. And she wants to do a documentary on SIRS. And the main motivation is because there were four suicides in her dorm room when she was there, and her dorm is totally screwed. Like, and I went to see you. I'm a buff. I love buffs, prime time, all day. Let's rock and roll. But even in a semi-arid desert campus, the buildings, especially some in particular, are atrocious. And so we need people to stop taking their lives and stop spending their lives anxious and depressed and overwhelmed and incapable and dull and lonely and isolated and agitated. And we need to get the inflammation out of their body, whether it's SIRS or not. So I tell people, we don't do a we're a Shoemaker certified to the letter hardcore biotoxin illness clinic, but we've seen severe apnea look like SIRS. We just talked about that migraine suffered 9 years. That was a tooth abscess, right? So SIRS is always part of the evaluation if there's mood disorder or brain dysfunction or fatigue or exercise intolerance or weird rashes and so on and so forth. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but our goal is to find the underlying causes of why. So you set up a treatment plan that spends time, money, and energy wisely to graduate people back to a productive life. And then sayonara, write us a nice Christmas card. See you never. and we'll get the light on if you have a regression, right? But it's super fun to graduate people from healthcare rather than making them a codependent disease management patient that never leaves.
One of the things that I love the most about your practice is how many tools you have at your disposal, as you just illustrated for us. I mean, you really do have everything in your back pocket. But the fact that you also, on top of that, know about SIRS, which so many funk med docs don't, is just like the 1-2 punch of getting people graduated, like you said, and not actually stuck in the sick cycle.
I was just going to say the one thing that I've been most impressed with your practice, and there are many impressive things about your practice. I have a background in healthcare. I used to work in audiology clinics. I worked with patients in the clinics, and you can always tell how the doctors will be at that clinic by how the front office staff treats you. And your front office staff, they're so on the ball. They're like, multiple times I've called and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm being your pain in the butt today. And they're just so gracious and understanding every single time. It's incredible. I love to see that in any medical practice. But yeah, it just makes me delighted to call. I know I'm not going to be treated like I'm a nuisance, even when I objectively am being one.
Oh, I just absolutely love that. And once in a while, you have to let somebody go, and it's just so tragic as a patient. And it's because they're being inappropriate with your front desk. And I'm so glad you said that, JC. I'm going to kick that up to the crew because we pay them above going rate for the jobs, but you don't get paid enough to deal with neuroinflamed, agitated, compromised, stressed out, overwhelmed, gullible, vulnerable, burnt a gazillion times, traumatized patients.
Yeah.
And we give a lot of hall passes to people, but there's a, I tell people, in your community and listen to the pod, like, do your best to treat staff with decency. And the reason we occasionally have to let somebody go is because Britannia, who's been with us for 9 years, I can't afford to lose her because she takes care of thousands of patients. And she's a critical link in the chain. Like, we have about 1,000 active patients in our practice of 5 providers, but we're well into 3,000, 4,000, and she's served about 2,400. And if you're not kind to her, one day she's going to say, "Screw this," and then we don't have anybody to organize your scheduling. And did you get your Marcon swab? And da 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 da. And as you all know, the organization of a chronic illness patient is one of the biggest things. And I hate to crap on the guys, but like, my life has been blessed with these brilliant women who know how to go, and they go like, "Yeah, that's cute, visionary healthcare guy, but that is not honest with the ability to execute that." And then they come up with these systems on top of systems on top of systems. To, like we were talking before the call, like bumpers on a bowling alley for a 4-year-old learning how to bowl for the first time. Like, a service patient comes in and they're just going, bah, 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 bah. Alicia is our lab coordinator, and for the providers to sit down and have every prior lab and imaging, whether it's a fab lab like a urinary mycotoxin nonsense test or a real test, on there all ready for you to dig in with a patient, that is a gift from heaven. And that's why we party together. We go out on the boat in the summer. We bonus them because they grind. They freaking grind, and I cannot tell you how much that means to me, because it goes the other way. I know who someone is by how they treat a receptionist, right? They'll be all kiss ass to Genevieve and like blah blah, and then they'll get all weird on the front desk, and that's okay. You're not well, but you need to change that, right? And that's where I think when doctors and staff and admin and patients all have a ground rule of, this is rough. We know you're working 14-hour days and you missed your son's basketball game, so you get my daughter in, right? And you said you want to do that because your son used to be a service patient, you're not anymore. And my kid is, and we're struggling, we're about to get divorced and bankrupt. Right? Like, the ground rule is decency. It's not kindness. Like, you don't expect it to be like kind. It's just decent. Just like, treat each other with, we're all grinding here. What I've found is so many people have been failed by unsubstantiated, nonsensical practices that they're burned and they're traumatized. So they come in like this. And then I love my staff because it's the first link of like, there's some functionality here. There's people who care. But who cares if you care and you're not organized? Who cares if you're organized and you don't give a rat's? Right. And
You need
that's why
both.
we need both. And when I first, when Genevieve started at the practice, and you guys know what a badass she is, we had three doctors who did working interviews. And I was just so Genevieve's husband worked for Ecovessel, like a clean canteen above our old office. And he said, "Hey, I'm hearing good things about your practice. My wife would like to maybe work. She's up in Montrose. We're thinking about moving her back. And what do you think about her sitting in?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And I just had, and Genevieve sat in, and we clicked. And the reason is twofold. She has this beautiful heart of gold who really cares about her patients, and she's smart. And it's like, if you're smart and you don't give a crap, you're not going to last in SIRS. If you give a crap, but you're not willing to read a Dr. Shoemaker paper at 1 in the morning, he yelled at him over a genie review. You're not ready for this level of patient. People are going through intense shit, man. It is intense. And that's where, when we talked about the Holy Trinity of a solid healthcare clinic, a solid inspection and remediation access. And Lori Rossi was the first to say, and then it's just still too much. And that's where the Barbara and the Jaycees of the world come in and go, okay, that was a lot. And you got about 40%. Now let's shellac the other 60%, but let's step this. And then, my receptionist knows more about SIRS than 99% of doctors. That's a problem, right? That's
Yeah.
a total problem. So we really are grateful with this clinic is just built on an intention, and it's working. And now we want, literally, my biggest guilt as a human being these days is, why did I get access to this medicine? Why did I get access to Dr. Shoemaker and doing the labs right? We had horrible experience with remediation. After the Boulder 2013 flood, anyone who owned a fan and wanted to smoke weed moved to Colorado and claimed they were a remediator, right? It was a mess. First time my older ever heard me say the F-bomb was chewing out a remediator. And I was saying, "Do your effing job." And he was 7. I come walk in the house. I didn't realize he was looking out the window.
Oh,
And he's like, "Daddy, those are some choice words. What did you
no.
what were you saying to that gentleman out there?" And I just had to tell him this whole that was not appropriate. And there's this experience of deep disappointment you're gonna have sometimes when someone claims to give a service and they don't show up, and it's different if someone's showing up in earnest and being like, "I want to go to SIRS X. I'm going to hang out with John Banta, Mike Trance, and Cindy Edwards. I'm going to change my remediation practices." That's totally different. That's normal, right? Same with healthcare, same with coaching, right? I'm not just going to just keep telling them like it's about your macros or whatever the deal is. It's like, "Hey, you're crushing it on your diet and lifestyle. You're really doing a good job with everything we talked about nutrition wise. I think there might be more.
Right.
You do a visual contrast sensitivity. Let me ask you these questions." And for JC, I didn't know that you were in audiology, because one of the symptoms that comes in often that's not on the cluster symptoms is tinnitus. And my brief tinnitus story is, we have these very straightforward women, these sisters, and you're gonna meet one of them at SIRS X. And she's a retired ER nurse and as straightforward as they come for healthcare. She's just like, bop, 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 run through emergent diagnostic algorithms, right? Come hell or high water, when she walks into a building with mold, wee, she gets tinnitus. Then she gets out, takes some cholestyramine, gone, right? And it makes sense to me because the vestibular cochlear nerve, granular nerve number 8, it's going to get flared with inflammatory cytokines too, right? That's the reason you don't see visual contrast. The VCS is a disease, is a test of immune reactivity. It's an inflammation test, right? So why wouldn't ringing of the ears be the same?
I love it when people ask me about tinnitus and SIRS. I'm just like, sit down, grab a snack. We're going to talk about the vestibular system.
And it's so like, boy, wow, that you just said that. Like, people get labeled veneers and they say there's no treatment for this. And I'm like, so wait, the diagnosis is some dude's name? Like, what is that? Like, what do you mean?
You're just labeling it.
What's the cause of this? Meniere. Like, what? Did Meniere kick me in the ear? Did Meniere prank call me? Like, what did Meniere do? Like, and this is the weird thing about medicine. It's like guys in particular like to piss their name on something they've discovered, right? And it's like when a patient says they have Gilbert's and their doctor said, don't worry about it. I'm like, Gilbert's, don't worry about it. If the Chinese, because I'm an acupuncturist, named Gilbert's, they would call it genetically swampy gallbladder syndrome, right? If someone has Gilbert's, they need something like integrated therapeutics, lipotropic complex, or Apex Biolumin, or some of these good cholagogues for the rest of their life. Because how is a cholestyramine well called garbage truck supposed to come through the intestine and pick up the biotoxin laden bile trash if you can't get ejection fraction to happen, right? So a gallbladder dump of bile is putting your trash can on the curbside. And if that doesn't happen well, you can't bring cholestyramine well called garbage trucks to pick anything up. It's like with that feeling you get on Tuesday morning and the trash, the garbage truck's coming through your neighborhood, and you're like, I forgot to put out the trash. That's a Gilbert's patient, right? So I wanted to shout out to, our podcast is the Vitality Hour, and we got a shadow ban. I didn't even know what that meant. My son's like reading through the YouTube comments, and he's like, someone said they were trying to get your heart scan podcast with Dr. Blanchette to their friend, and their friend couldn't find you, and you're getting shadow banned. And we talked about a higher quality mask, the pure MSK mask, like a shadow ban for like getting Fauci's back on something. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And so we just recently revamped the podcast, and we had our last episode was with Dr. McMahon, and I took with Scott, Dr. Scott McMahon, and I talk all about tolerating cholestyramine well call through gallbladder function. And when we get the reason I share, there's so many people come in and are like, I can't do cholestyramine, can't do well call. I've never had a patient that we couldn't get to tolerate well call cholestyramine. If it's gritty and they have gastritis, we're going to power load them with DGL or other gut powders. If they can't get bile into the intestines, they're going to get bile reflux off of cholestyramine well call. So it's about really understanding the basics of physiology and using funk medicine to tonify the tolerance of CSM cholestyramine. And then obviously we have our saying around here, ABP, always be pooping. So if you ain't down
We
with
have a
ABP,
variation of that ourselves.
yes. Well, we went old school. You down with APP,
Love
I sit and shit so easily.
it.
So you have to take biotoxin to the toilet, right? And even before I did SIRS, people would be like, I did my sauna and I did all my liver herbs and I did my milk thistle. I say, you didn't take a crap. Like,
Sitting in your colon.
but like you didn't poop. Phase four detoxification is you took a dump, right? Phase one is cytochrome P450 system takes a toxin and makes it more toxic. And then methylation, acetylation, glucuronidation, glutathione peroxidation, and sulfation turn that more toxic toxin into water-soluble bile. And then you have to eat fat. You guys done a lot of work with Judy, where it's like, is the patient eating enough fat to go, right? And fat eating fat triggers bile ejection. I was on a podcast with Dr. Jacoby, the famous surgeon, and his story is crazy because he would fast all day doing surgery, and then he would just eat like a muffin for dinner from the hospital cafeteria. And he had to get his gallbladder removed 20 years later because he didn't eat enough fat to trigger bile ejection fraction. So if you don't have fat, you don't fire your gallbladder, and then you have to poop. And people don't realize that when bile hits the intestinal wall, it helps gut motility. So if you have a constipated gallbladder, you're going to be constipated. So those are some of the things that we're trying to get through. Okay, Don't adulterate the Shoemaker protocol. It is sweet symphony of eradication of illness. It will restore your productivity, creativity, get your brain back. Episode 8 is about Aaron Pettigrew on episode 8 is going to speak at the SIRSX conference, and he is going to talk about what it felt like to regrow his brain. And he knew his follow-up NeuroQuant was going to look better because he felt it. I'm like, that's cool, you feel it. I need to see a follow-up NeuroQuant to know if we should still keep spending money on this high of a dose of VIP. And he regrew 3.5 out of 4 nuclear atrophy. And I have total permission to talk about his case. And he's on the podcast. He's going to be at SIRSX.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but he was at last SIRSX and he was still kind of like mid-treatment. So I'm really excited to see him at this. It's going to be like the
Preach,
before and
baby.
after.
Yes, no, we, and that's what I love about SIRSX is we're honest. There's like, this is a pain in the keister, this illness, right? And we had, Aaron was doing a little bit better and he was doing a little bit worse. And we had him on the schedule for July 2023. I was like, tell your story. Like, it's not always unicorns and rainbows. And you know, and it's like your friends aren't making out and having great date nights every night in their marriage, right? It's like tell the truth. And those guys did such a vulnerable, great job of telling their story.
That's a great top. Yeah.
Yes, but then you watch episode 8 and you're like, holy cow, he made it to the promised land. And it's so awesome. Like we can have all the Shoemaker and Dr. Heyman and Scott McMahon and Dr. D Papers that we want and Peg Tullio and Lysander Jim and all the people who are really grinding, Dr. Grunning and so on and so forth. Doesn't matter if people don't hear it from someone that it actually happened to.
Right.
And it was so powerful. And 3 out of 4 of those men on that podcast who are like normal blue collar down earth people had suicidal ideations for no reason. Right? Meaning they live relatively charmed lives, they could afford their mortgage, they could even buy $7 pasture raised eggs at Whole Foods, right? And it didn't matter. We all, and I'm one of the three, we all want to put clocks in our mouth, right?
Yeah.
Stupid building from a building. And just think about how many, even before you get to like a mother losing their child to suicide, right? It, just think about all the badass, incredible, creative, productive, fun people that are supposed to be in this world that we've lost, you know.
Yeah.
And I will tell you for your listeners, like for especially ones who are docs, if you have anecdotally, when we see concussion history with lots of atrophy and NeuroQuant from SIRS, those are people you need to really get the hell out of buildings and get to work, right? Like if
Yeah.
you need to fit them in on a Friday night at 7 p.m., because that's where the brain starts telling you stories.
Yep. Yeah, I've heard that too. And to plug SIRSX, because it was such an amazing experience for JC and I, and obviously that's why we're happy and excited to be coming back this year. That is May 17th through the 19th in Frisco, Texas. And you guys did your due diligence and it picked a new build with an outdoor mall attached to it and all kinds of fun SIRS-friendly things going on with that. And I also heard on your earlier talk with Christian that you and Michael Schrantz are going to be doing a talk on endotoxins, which I'm personally very selfishly excited about because that is my biotoxin of choice, as told to me by the genie. So I'm very excited for that talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any nuggets of wisdom that you can share as a preview from that
Our
talk?
talk totally stinks. We've been working on it. It's full of cat litter, and Genevieve's got the
Yes.
craziest case so far where we have a poop pipe to nowhere. So basically someone's house got built. So there's this plumber smoke test. So if you have endotoxin in your house and you really can't find it, it's about $1,000, which sucks, total racket, but they pump theater gas or they can pump dry ice if you're really sensitive to any kind of chemical smells into your sewer main, and any leak in your system will leak. So one of Genevieve's patients, the wall starts smoking.
Oh no.
They open up the wall. There's a pipe to nowhere that looked like melted candle wax of, and this was what was getting the patient sick. So you guys heard me talk about Christian. Like if you're going to work with a clinic and you think you have SIRS, you need to ask them two things. Are you in the strict adherence of the Shoemaker protocol? Dr. Heyman's a good example, someone who complements protocol. I'm in a good example, someone who complements protocol, but I do not adulterate the protocol. Genevieve, Emily, Leanna, Dana, Dr. Bjerke, they wouldn't last here. They're incredible, exquisite, integral providers. And then do you get dirty with the buildings? And I don't know if it's by divine mandate, but four out of our five providers have very severe personal building experiences. And I think that's kind of makes me want to vomit because I've hugged it out with my fellow providers. I'm like, shit, like, okay. And we're connected, and it's massive time, money, and energy to do it, right? But are you down with the buildings? Is your doctor on the phone with inspectors and remediators on the way home, making sure, you know? And that's where the institute.sirsx.com just launched their medically important remediation course, which is a 16-hour course. It took 2 years to write by John Banta, Michael Schrantz, Bill Weber, Cindy Edwards, and Greg Weatherman. They're all going to be at the conference except for Cindy. She's got a prior engagement. And if you have a remediator that has potential, they need to do this course. You can let Barbara and JC know about them and connect me, and I will roll out the red carpet if they're in earnest wanting to get buildings to healthcare clean. And there's a standard called the IICRC 500 and the IICRC S520, and we're not in competition with them. That's a good basic knowledge of how to take out water damage. Then this course is meant to then take remediators who want to serve the SERS population to get buildings to healthcare clean, right? So it's like one of those things where if that's your deal, you got to come to SERSX, because we're melding building environment professionals with healthcare, with coaches, and then the patient. So many of our patients are coming to the conference now, and it's so exciting because they're the ones who are going to lead policy change with their local legislators. They're the ones who are going to call out nonsense in healthcare. They're the ones who are going to say, why are you ordering urinary mycotoxin tests when you're supposed to be doing a VCS, cluster symptoms, and biotox screen? Don't you like to read science? Don't you like to challenge methods? Or are you just kind of a clickbait person who reads abstracts of medical papers? Are you going to deep dive for me? Are you going to spend my patients' time, money, and energy wisely? Right, and so on and so forth. And that's one of the reasons we did episode 8, and we're gonna have more patients on. A crazy young teenager who was such a stud on his way to med school, straight A student, captain of the soccer team, who woke up SIRS from COVID, and COVID long hauling is a SIRS. And his dad just sent me a picture of he was vomiting around the toilet for 18 months. His dad was sleeping in the bathtub next to him. And he would tell his dad, you don't have to sleep there. And his dad's, if you're in here, I'm in here. 18 months on the patent. And I'm like, and then you got an endotoxin exposure. You're like vomiting in a toilet. His dad just sent me a picture of him shredding down a little tiny canyon powder skiing, like steep and deep. This kid's back. He's totally back. And
Wow.
guess what he's going to do? He's going to go off to med school and he's going to see SIRS patients.
Hell yeah.
So it's
That is
like that's what SIRSX is about. That's what we're trying to build because, as you all know, you know the amount of hits and like stories and like help that you get, it's so meaningful, but it's so overwhelming to think of those are the people who bumped into SIRS. And there's like hundreds of millions of people who are getting divorced, bankrupt, want to commit suicide, are full of a body rash, their guts don't work, they're in dementia care. Now they're sitting in their own endotoxin in adult diapers, and they didn't have a chance. And that just it does more than break my heart. Like, makes me want to vomit. So it's like we need the coaches, the doctors, the nurses, the remediators, the inspectors to be a gazillion. But we really do need like 10,000 proficient doctors alone. That's before you even get to the, and we have like 40. You know,
Yeah,
we have like 10 who are like super in it experienced, right?
right. And that's you'll be happy to know that we see in the SIRS group actually quite a lot of fantastic energy from patients that are still sick, still in the thick of it, and are already plotting how they will become something in the SIRS world to turn around and help others. And I'm a business coach in addition to the health stuff, but I am taking it on as much as I can to, like, yes, go coach, learn about this stuff, become a proficiency partner, go to SIRS X, all that stuff, because we just need we need more boots on the ground. There's just so many people that need to find out about SIRS. And one question we wanted to ask you actually was, as what do you think is the best thing for the SIRS community to do to spread the awareness and encourage providers to become certified? People who have doctors, not no SIRS practitioners near them, like how do you think they should approach their regular doctors, for example, or just start to spread that awareness?
Yeah, I kind of have that lion and lamb mentality on this, right? Like there's a time to just be a nice, gentle lamb and be graceful, and then there's a time to be a lion, and that's situational, right? If someone wasted $50,000 of your money as a SIRS patient on IV ozone and gazillion other things, you might have to flex on them and say, like, you're not doing scientifically validated shit, and you wasted my family's time, money, and energy, and you need to know that, right? And you need to like, if you took an oath, a Hippocratic oath or an Hippocratic oath as a doctor, you need to check yourself because you're out of alignment with this word called integrity. And then there's other people who are like trying, but they just heard, one of the quote famous urinary mycotoxin docs like spin a good story with cute slides and no published papers. And you just say, hey, there's another family over here that's dedicated to the chronically ill's time, money, and energy. And they all kind of get together at SIRS-X, and there's this thing called proficiency partners. And if you would go, I would have like friends and family who need to see you. And we really need that in states like Tennessee and South Carolina. We just had a new medical doctor. I wish I she just got announced, but she's Wisconsin. I'm so grateful we have a medical doctor in Wisconsin who's Shoemaker certified now, right?
Great.
She doesn't know a tsunami is about to hit her practice.
I was
Yeah.
gonna say, I know a couple of our members are already like their ears are gonna perk up when they hear that. That's so exciting.
Yes, it's so exciting. So I think what you do is you just keep saying, and people say, well, we do it this way. Just say, well, I'm your patient and we spent $7,000 here. Can you show me the medical papers that show urinary mycotoxins diagnosed CIRS? Well, it shows toxic exposure. Well, great, everyone has toxic exposure, and urinary mycotoxins are elevated on everybody. And there's no, you do it, you treat it. And then on urinary mycotoxins, there's nothing to kill. It's an inert toxin. So then these patients go on azoles, itraconazole, fluconazole, Diflucan, and those antifungals literally create antibiotic resistance in Marcons. So Marcons turns into, we get all of our gentamicin resistant and vancomycin resistant. Two of the heaviest hitting antibiotics in Marcons are from the application of frivolous azoles. Now I'm going to tell you when I used azoles in my career. When I was seeing predominantly gay male population in Seattle for HIV progressing to AIDS before we had good antiretroviral drugs in the freaking 90s. Those people had CD4 cells that were so disseminated that fungal infection, not colonization, fungal infection was overgrowing their body. And you could prove it by a fungal culture on blood marker. That is an appropriate use of azoles. The amount of people I've seen in the last 20 years in that situation, including people who've been through vicious chemotherapy, is zero. The amount of times we need an azole in our clinic is zero. Absolutely zero, right? So, Barbara, to your point, the number one driver of atrophy on brain MRI with NeuroQuant and Dr. Shoemaker's data set forever was people who've been on antifungal azoles, itraconazole, Diflucan, and fluconazole is rotting people's brain. And the scary thing is, it has some mild anti-inflammatory effects, so you feel better while you're destroying your brain and creating drug-resistant Marcons, so our kids don't have any antibiotics at work, nor does Mrs. Smith, 90-year-old grandma in ICU right now, right? So that's number one. Then endotoxin came, and the only thing more atrophying to the brain than azoles, mold does a little bit, actinos do, is endotoxin. So you asked for some endotoxin nuggets. Poop, caca, stool, manure, doo-doo, sewer gas. These are all words for endotoxin. And endotoxin is lipopolysaccharides. So there are gram-negative bacteria. E. coli is an endotoxin. C. diff is an endotoxin. They have two cell walls, not just so actinos have one cell wall. They have two cell walls. And the outer wall is made of lipo, fat, polysaccharides, chain branched chain sugars. So lipopolysaccharides. And the lipopolysaccharide break off the outer wall. You inhale that. And that's what triggers your CD14, your toll receptor 2, your toll receptor 4 gene on a genie to wake up. The factory was totally dormant, not producing any inflammatory cytokines. It wakes up and starts producing inflammatory cytokines, and it drives cortical atrophy. You cut a Twinkie in half, the yellow cake part of your brain starts to shrink. That's the cortical gray matter. Okay, so E. coli and C. diff, if you get it internally from gastrointestinal, that lipopolysaccharide pops open the leaky gut. So lipopolysaccharides can be a problem in food, but they're even a bigger problem in inhalation relative to. And guess what? Dr. Blanchette, 69-year-old internist of 45 years, and Dr. Shoemaker in his early 70s used in their early careers for E. coli and Clostridium difficile. Welkal cholestyramine, because you bind up the lipopolysaccharide that's can opening up your leaky gut. So for E. coli and C. diff, you need antibiotics, but that just kills the bug. It doesn't mop up the lipopolysaccharide. So this is where we like come to SERSEX, you get to hang out with like a country doc meets modern technology. Bill Blanchette, who taught, he's the last doctor I know who still visits his patients in the hospital, make sure the hospitalist doesn't kill him. Right.
Wow.
Like you guys, whenever I say this word, I always think of you two, but I'm like, he's a boss. Like that he is a freaking boss. Dr. Shoemaker is the same thing. Dr. Shoemaker is doing our keynote, and it's not that much about medicine. And he shared some of his thoughts with me the other day. And I started tearing up because he fell in love with serving human beings through figuring out their medical issues, right? And if you can give someone a little less depression and a little more dopamine, then they can figure out how to apologize in their marriage. They can figure out how to be less agitated with their kids. They can figure out how to stop their leg from kicking a dog, right? And it's like no one's inherently evil or douchey, right? People are just agitated, overwhelmed, neuroinflamed, achy, breaky, tired, choking out from apneas, tooth abscess, breathing moldy. Like it's just no one wants to be like dull, agitated, angry, stingy, and not fun, you know? And that unfortunately then perpetrates, then people start moving away from you. Then you got to cancel all your engagements, and then you get this disease, which is ultimately a disease of isolation and of tightness, and then you turn into an uptight freakazoid, right? Who's like judgmental of everything. You wore a coat in here that smells like endotoxin. You know, they're like, okay, great. That coat might be a problem for your SIRS, but like, there's a way to take a moment and talk to someone about like. Hey, I don't know if you were like cleaning your kitty litter before going over here, but like your coat might be giving me a headache. Let's walk outside, you know, go for a walk around the block, you know. But these people are overwhelmed, gullible, vulnerable, brain dead, tired, exhausted, financially depleted, and there is a treatable, reproducible, published protocol that can restore health. So it's a good day.
A beautiful thing.
I know pretty certainly I wouldn't be here had I not discovered SIRS, had I not, like you said, why do we get to be the ones who have bumped into this knowledge? I am very grateful that you bumped into this knowledge and that we were able to bump into this knowledge. And now we're able to continue advocating and sharing with other people so that they can learn and hopefully it just spreads. And I know that's the goal of SIRSX. That's our goal as well. But we can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know I'm looking forward to seeing you again at SIRSX. I have to say, like, your talk was one of my favorites, and Michael Schrant's talk was one of my favorites. So I'm so excited to see you both together. I know you said it's not going well, but I'm sure
No,
it'll be
it's
it's
literally
poopy. It's just
it's a
poopy.
yes, it's an endotoxin. We may or may not get to it, but in honor of you, JC, we were going to make shirts that say you're full of endotoxin.
I love it.
We had one that was like, I'm a fungi. There was another one I wanted to do that just says publish, because that's Dr. Shoemaker's deepest desire, is that if you have an idea, that's great. If you're seeing anecdotal things in practice happen, that's great. Now raise the data to publish so that it can actually influence and change standard of care, public policy, and construction practices, right? Who cares if you're like got a little whiz thing you do with two patients? How about 2 billion patients, right? And that SERSX is just a big, awesome healing party. And it's just so neat. Like, I am the most blessed guy in the world when like I'm at SERSX and I see like you guys talking to like John Banta, and like the new generation is seeing the old generation. And it's just like people just start it just it becomes cellular with what the old guard did, and then it gets very clear of we're standing on the shoulders of giants, and we need to just grow this. And I just like, again, Christian, you guys, like, you're these clear, pure megaphones for Dr. Shoemaker's work, because it's not his role. His role is he's the red dragon sensei who goes up in the misty mountaintop and brings home all these incredible biochemical genius Nobel laureate winning deserving ideas. But then you have to execute them for the masses, because it's 24% of the population and well over 50% of the buildings are water damaged. So
Yeah, absolutely. And we will have all of the links in the show notes for your practice as well as SERSX. So we hope to see some of you guys there who are able to make it. And also, of course, your podcast. And yeah, we just thank you again so much for being here. It's been awesome.
thanks, guys.
thank you so much for joining us in this interview of Dr. Eric Dorninger. We are so appreciative of him for jumping on and allowing us to bug him with our very specific questions about SIRS. We're so excited to see him at SIRSX, and hope that to see some people there too. If you see us at SIRSX, please come up to us. I'll be so sad to know that you were there and didn't, if you tell me that after the fact. So either come up to me or don't tell me you were there at all. And if in the meantime you are looking for more resources and support in your SIRS journey, you can join us over at thesirsgroup.com.
We'll see you there.